Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Still going.
My stone stops right before the bullseye, which, according to Bob, is the perfect location for the first stone. My second didn't even make it past the hog line, which means it's eliminated from play. I was slightly pleased with my performance. What did Bob think?
Initial thoughts? Initial thoughts. You're in the learning mode.
Okay, so that was me curling like 10 years ago now. It takes a lot of work, by the way.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, Eve, but the music choice maybe was a little dramatic.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here are your hosts, Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Nine ten on Wisconsin's Morning News. Breaking news from the U.S. Told you earlier to keep an eye on this. The court was expected to rule on President Trump's tariff authority, and it appears the high court has struck down the president's unilateral issuing of tariffs with some exceptions. So what the high court has not done is said you can't tariff. What the high court has done is suggested that the president needs to be reined in on his authority to simply levy tariffs on his own. Am I understanding that right, E, as we look at the 6-3 Supreme Court decision that was just handed down minutes ago?
Clarence Thomas, Justice Alito, and Kavanaugh were the three dissenters in that 6-3 decision.
Which puts conservative justices, well, I guess some people argue whether Chief Justice John Roberts is conservative, but votes with the conservative majority more often than not. Justice Gorsuch and Justice Coney Barrett also joined the liberals in that majority opinion 6-3, striking down the president's authority to unilaterally issue tariffs in many cases.
So what's interesting is we just were running the numbers before the news broke on the stock market, and everything is up. Everything is good right now, but what's interesting is all the networks and everyone now has at least one eye, maybe not both eyes. At least everyone is watching the markets now, expecting a reaction potentially to this news.
What could impact the markets? One is economists have reported that certainly, as was expected, many of the costs of the tariffs have been passed down to the consumer level. So some arguments are if people feel like they're paying more for this, that, or the other thing, there is some attribution for those higher costs to the tariff authority that President Trump has levied. On the flip side, the president has used tariffs to get other things that he wants and that he thinks are good for the U.S. So he's used the threat of tariffs or actually levying those tariffs to get other trade deals he says are more beneficial for the U.S., even to move people on other issues outside of economics.
So what's interesting is before this news came down, and again, like this was anticipated to be around 10 o'clock Eastern time. Before this came down, the president was addressing, what was it, the governor's breakfast or something at the White House.
The governor's association is in Washington.
And there was news of the president kicking the press out, and we saw it. There's video of him saying, thank you, press. And that just seemed a little strange. Yeah, well, thank you, President. He was standing up, and all the governors were seating around tables, and he was standing at a podium, and thank you, press, and okay, and then there's like a hand in front of it, like as the aides were pushing the press out. You would assume the reason they did that is because they didn't want a reaction shown in real time of what the president may or may not have already known. It's possible he already knew going in there, but I bet that's why they kicked those cameras out, because they didn't want a shot of, hey, and then once the news broke and there's whispers and mumbling and all that, and there he is up there giving a speech. I wonder if that's why they kicked the cameras out of there.
Either he was about to say something that they weren't sure what that was going to be, and they wanted an opportunity to circle up and decide how are we going to play this, what is the official response going to be, all of those things. It's not – and this – it's uncharacteristic – according to the media that was assembled, to have been invited to the front end of something and then abruptly removed from that.
Okay.
There are things where I even think of Packers practice. There's a session that's open to the media where they do a couple of things.
So you don't think there was any, okay, let's get them out of here.
I do think there was, that it was more abrupt than it usually is. Sometimes in politics or in sports or whatever, the media is assembled, they're gathered. You can shoot here or you can do your things for X number of minutes, and then we're going to move into, you know, conducting our business without you here. This seems like a case where they were, the media that was assembled there in Washington, were expecting to be able to cover the remarks of the president and the, at least the front end of this meeting with the Governors Association. That's Democrats and Republicans. And apparently, that was abruptly ended.
Other news this morning, before this broke, U.S. economy slowed more than expected over the final months of 2025. According to data that was released, the economy grew at an annualized rate of 1.4% in the fourth quarter, marking a cool down from a blistering hot 4.4% growth recorded in the previous quarter. So you had that news. Then, of course, you have this tariff news. And as of now, stocks are unchanged, still up at the moment.
And just let me read to you the narrative from NBC News, delivering a major blow to President Trump's to President Trump, the Supreme Court on Friday ruled that he exceeded his authority when imposing sweeping tariffs using a law reserved for a national emergency. The justices, divided 6-3, held that Trump's aggressive approach to tariffs on products entering the United States from across the world was not permitted under a 1977 law called the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. That's another interesting thing that we have talked about. Many other administrations have done this. This one seems to do it more often than not, but there are White House lawyers. You often hear about that. White House lawyers. Instead of the lawyers telling some presidents, here's what you can and can't do, some presidents say, I am doing X. Find me the legal explanation for why I'm allowed to do that.
For why this is able to happen. Right.
And a good lawyer can very often find some explanation. No matter what it is that you want to do. Now, this is the high court ultimately saying that that doesn't hold water for us. We understand why you said he has this authority under the 1977 Act. That's not good enough for us. And that is, again, you had to have some conservatives, as they have the majority in the Supreme Court, join that decision. And you have three of them, or two and a half, depending on how you look at Chief Justice Roberts, joining the other liberals on the high court.
Following the breaking news from just moments ago from the U.S. Supreme Court, it is a defeat for the White House. The court ruling 6-3 against the president's right to impose those emergency tariffs.
9:17 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Wisconsin's Morning News, 9:19. Breaking news from the White House. I should say from the U.S. Supreme Court. We're still waiting to hear if there's going to be reaction from the White House. The high court ruling 6-3 against the president's right to impose some emergency tariffs. So 6-3 was the vote. What we're going to do is we're going to get an update here from ABC in moments. What we haven't heard from yet is the White House on this. This came down, what would you say, about 10 minutes ago. It was anticipated that a ruling would happen. Of course, we weren't sure how the ruling would go, but it has now come down. This is a major defeat for the White House. Let's get the latest from ABC News.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. A major ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court invalidating almost all of President Trump's tariffs. The decision, centering on tariffs imposed under an emergency powers law, including those reciprocal tariffs levied on nearly every country. Here's ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
This is a huge blow to this White House and to this President Trump. In the lead up to this decision, had said that a ruling against his tariffs would be, quote, devastating and a terrible blow to the U.S. economy and national security. He has used these tariffs as the main leverage, not just for negotiating deals with other foreign countries that can economic deals, but also as a pressure point in his foreign policy.
The Constitution gives Congress the power to levy tariffs. However, the Trump administration had argued that a law passed in 1977 gave him the authority in times of national emergencies. So far, there's been no reaction from the White House. This is ABC News.
We're checking the markets. The markets so far remain up at the moment. All three indices up. The Dow 105, the Nasdaq 90, and the S&P 20.
9:21 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Want to look ahead to the Olympic Games and Wisconsin's own Jordan Stoltz, who races for his final event at these games tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more about when you can see him, but you feel guilty saying you're disappointed the guy won silver, right?
Well, not disappointed like he did something wrong.
I'm not disappointed in him.
Right.
I'm disappointed for him. And I think, as I mentioned to Lori this morning, there's a difference for anybody who's competed in anything at any level, right? Whether it's athletics or a music competition or an academic competition, you can be disappointed in the outcome as opposed to being disappointed in your performance. And there is a difference there. And we asked the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Lori Nickel, who's been covering Jordan for years, how she thinks he will view what happened in terms of silver versus gold.
He is actually, from my understanding, yeah, I'm not in Italy anymore, but my understanding is he's happy with his silver still, but we just know how competitive he is, and with one more race to go, look out. But there's not enough time that, you know, in the hours after the race to evaluate that race. I know that his coach, Bob Corby, studied that race, that silver medal, a couple of times and is going to go over with him. But whether he does it during these games or whether he uses it for training in the off season or both, we'll have to wait and see.
What did you see in the race? I mean, well, first of all, we should point out, I said to Eric earlier this morning, okay, if you told the Dutch the top spot on the podium was going to be vacated by Jordan, they would think they were in good shape, and then this other cat has the race of his life. But what did you see in the race? Was it a good one for Jordan?
Yes, it was for Jordan. It was very good and very solid. There might have been times that he could have pushed a little bit harder if that's what his coach thinks. To me, it looked solid throughout, and it was more about Ning from China, who just had the race of his life and I think has been training actually a little bit with the Dutch, helping each other out at times and strategizing for the last year. So when, you know, you go up against somebody who has such a monstrous Olympic record like that by like a whole second or something, that's very tough to beat. But I think really, guys, besides just looking at what a great race that was for Jordan, this just illustrates how hard it is what he has been trying to do and what he's been doing. It is not normal to race so many different distances. And remember, he can still do distance stuff too if he wants to, if he trains for it. So nobody else had this pressure. Nobody else had this expectation of going in, getting three golds. We put that on him, the media, the narrative. His resume contributed to that, certainly, because he had done so well in the World Cup in that event. That is not something that he went out there and said, I'm going to sweep all of this. So if you're so good, he earned that pressure and those expectations. They said on TV it was the upset of the games. I really disagree with that.
That's the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's Lori Nickel, who's been all over the Jordan Stoltz story. So he does have another race. And Lori talked about it. You'll find it on the podcast page about how it's a crazy race. It's like a bunch of people that wear helmets. There's dozens of them running around.
They called it NASCAR on ice.
Yeah. It's like 16 laps or something crazy like that. So it's tomorrow at 8 a.m. That's when the races start. Now, if he qualifies, and you could be the best racer and not qualify. If he qualifies for the final is scheduled for like 9:40 tomorrow morning.
A lot of conversation about how we should view that race as well.
Right.
Went through this with my daughter when she was with our cheerleading team and they went to the national championship and they had come in second one year and they were really happy about that. They got a silver medal in the national championship. It was their first time medaling like that. The next year they won the whole thing. And then the following year, her senior year, they came in second by less than a point in a judged event. And we were wondering, did you claim the silver? Or did you lose the national championship?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, looking back, I thought Lori said it best that the silver looks better with age.
Yes. And you will remember. And again,
so would any kid in like high school, like whether it's that or state sports or whatever. We made it to state. We lost to whatever team. But
and had he fallen down? Or raced a terrible race, that's a different story. When you throw your best out there and you have a good run and you get beat, then you get beat.
Speaking of throwing the best out there, Did you see that rock? That U.S. curler.
How can you not? Every time you turn it on, it's curling. And we're still curling this morning.
Yeah, they are. So I think this game's this is an important match this morning that the U.S. women have. But yesterday they won on the last throw. You know, I have curled before.
That sounds like a Bilstead activity.
Went up to Cedarburg.
It
like
can, if you like, involve beverages.
Yeah, but like it's intense.
Oh, at that level for sure.
You want to hear my curling?
You have.
I
curling?
Talked to a guy named Bob.
Okay, let's
this
see.
This is like 10 years ago curling? In Cedarburg. This is me curling.
Bob takes me to the end of the giant bullseye, which players call the house. It's there where I'll push my stone.
You want your body square to where the skip is standing? Mm-hmm.
Bob tells me it's all about balance, keeping my knees bent and pushing through the stone so it glides straight and true. He goes first and effortlessly pushes the stone all the way down the ice. Now it's my turn.
Okay, here we go. All right. Go forward. Back. Still going.
My stone stops right before the bullseye, which, according to Bob, is the perfect location for the first stone. My second didn't even make it past the hog line, which means it's eliminated from play. I was slightly pleased with my performance. What did Bob think?
Initial thoughts? Initial thoughts, you're in the learning mode.
Okay, so that was me curling like 10 years ago now. It takes a lot of work, by the way.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, E, but music choice maybe was a little dramatic for a feature on curling. My goodness. Were their lives on the line? If my stone doesn't cross, someone's going to die. That was a great first stone.
Well, thank you.
It's a highly skilled event, no question. It is coming up on 9:30 here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Of course, the breaking news, the U.S. Supreme Court striking down the president's authority to issue many unilateral tariffs. We will get the bottom of the hour update from ABC next. .938 on Wisconsin's Morning News. The man they called McSteamy is dying.
McSteamy! Woohoo!
Is that what you call me now, McSteamy?
Yeah, but I don't think you're supposed to know that.
Perfect. Eric Dane was just 53 years old. Best known for his role as one of the doctors on the hit series Grey's Anatomy, which is still on, by the way, somehow.
It's a 20-plus years.
Yeah. What a run. Also known perhaps more to the younger generation of fans for a show called Euphoria, more recent work. Dane only recently started talking about his battle with ALS. Remember the ice bucket challenge?
Yep.
What was that, 10 years ago at least?
Yeah.
And that was a challenge Eric to the ice bucket challenge. And then a lot of folks were dumping ice water on the tops of their heads. But the whole thing.
Yeah, it was kind of silly, though, because it's more about raising money than it was about getting wet, right?
Right. What you were supposed to do is not do it and then instead donate money to ALS research.
Yeah.
But everybody ended up instead doing the thing and getting creative with it. Nothing bad about it.
Of course.
Because it raised millions of dollars for ALS. Well, that's what Eric Dane had. And he died at 53. And he only recently started talking about it.
My dominant side.
Is your right side?
Yeah, my left side is functioning. My right side is completely stopped working.
That was from an interview he did just in 2025. ALS is a progressive neurological disorder. It gradually, and this is me defining it in not medical terms, but it just degrades your body's ability to move your muscles. And it's progressive, as I said, so it starts as you have trouble moving. I'm not sure if it's always feet up, but in the experiences that I've had with it, and I'll share one very personal one in a moment, but you start where your feet, you're trying to move your foot and it's not moving, but it's just your foot. So you kind of figure something else and then it sort of works its way up your entire body. And in the case that I know all too personally, my cousin on my wife's side, Shane, is from our area, and Shane died at 45 from ALS. And we watched it happen in front of us. And that's what's so painful for family members is there's very little you can do other than help your person be more comfortable, help facilitate basic functions of life because they can't move their bodies. But the painful part is you watch it happen slowly and progressively. And in Shane's case, you know, he had trouble walking for a while, and then he needed a cane, and then he needed a walker, and then he needed a chair that he could operate, and then he couldn't operate the chair, and somebody else had to. And then his last days of life, in his mid-40s, he couldn't get out of bed, and he couldn't talk anymore. And the other part that's so painful about ALS is, for the person who has it, there are plenty of other diseases, and not to diminish them in the struggles, but where you can say, I'm going to fight. Right? If it's cancer, we're going to do the chemo. We're going to do the stuff. I'm going to fight.
Yep.
I got a great network behind. We're going to beat this. You cannot beat ALS right now. You can't. So I think when I did a story on Shane years ago for TMJ4, I said, the line I said was, depending on your perspective, you are either living with or dying from ALS. Both are true. And so knowing that it ultimately is a death sentence is something that you live with until you don't.
Right.
So McSteamy, Eric Dane, dead at the age of just 53 years old.
Are you new here?
Visiting. Confounded by all the rain, and it's only my first day in town.
Pancake Breakfast Special is next. Come.
9:45 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Lots to do on the show each and every day. We float a lot of ideas. We could talk about this. We could talk about that. Well, not all of our ideas make it into the rundown. Greg Pancake Hill is producer of this year's program. He got his nickname working at the Pancake House on the South Side. So we ask Pancake to whip up a little something with the leftovers. You see what we did there? In a segment we call the Pancake Breakfast Special.
What about breakfast?
We've already had it.
We've had one, yes. What about second breakfast?
Stupid prey. They never suspect anything. Ooh, a hot dog!
There is a prankster out there, you guys. And we gotta let people know about it. Are you familiar with a website called SoulSeek?
Explain.
If you're not, it is a file sharing website. It's a, like, underground music sharing. Like, hey, I made this remix of this thing. Honestly, something we might utilize on this show. We made a remix thing. You may not be popularly distributed. And you can, like, it's a file. You point it to a place and it's just file shared. And you could grab it, right? And you could download it. Now, what's happened? I think of it as like a SoundCloud, right? So, some place where music filing sharing is made. So, here's a scenario. You go to that website and you download a file. It's named Goo Goo Dolls Iris.mp3. Sounds good, right? Something you maybe want on a date night. Maybe that's coming up. Maybe it's going to rain. You're going to confess your love to someone you've always wanted to with a stereo above your head. So here comes that moment. You finally hit play and you hear...
Hello.
Okay, that's not John Resnick.
No.
Of the Google Dolls. If you listen closely, that's Homer Simpson.
Where everything's made to be broken, I just want you to know who I am.
So,
okay.
Fine.
Okay, what's
fine.
Happening?
It happens,
I can hear it.
Right, it happens. It's a troll, right? So let's go download another file, right? Maybe you get that one date and you're setting up for that mood. You're trying to do a cute rom-com montage. What about a little sugar sugar? And you hear it and you hit play and you go,
oh, sugar.
So what's happening, according to reports that I have confirmed myself, being the dogged reporter that I am,
good.
There is an unidentified online prankster who has unceremoniously, inexplicably uploaded what is considered to be thousands of songs that are labeled correctly. However, they sound like this.
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
And it doesn't stop there.
I want this album.
If you so, oh, buddy, it's more than an album. There's called an EP. This is an extended player. If you so desire, this might be perfect for you, Vince. There is a constant 24-hour stream of Homer Simpson AI-created covers. Now, this is the definition of live radio. We're going to tap into this stream now. I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
Mike cursed. It's all right. We're on delay. We'll be all right. Now, again, I have a backup plan, but it also might be a little weird because it might not be in English, and it might be a overly techno thing. So here, we'll tap into it. Let's see what it sounds like, and I can dip out if needed. All right, I'm going to dip out. All right, that's fine. And that's running right now. So hold on. So if you go to the website, if you want to experience this, text Pancake to the WTMJ Siding Unlimited Talk and text line 855-616-1620. You'll have this link if you want it, you weirdo. At the top, though, so it's actually pretty well done. At the top, it says, let's see, I got to get my sound effect here.
Meanwhile, I'm texting Pancake.
Please do. It says, at the very top, it says, oh, hold on. I gotta turn that radio off. At the very top, it says FM. So there you go. So that's a little Homer Simpson flavor for you. Right below that, it says, this does not need to exist, which is amazing. And here we are. So, and then you have the player, and it says live from Springfield. And by the way, there are 1,600 people listening to this radio station right now. The AI one. Hopefully more than that on ours. But I digress. So I do have a backup plan because I was kind of like, I don't know if this is going to go well. When I was listening last night, this is what I came across organically.
I'm gonna yield. Wow! I'm being good.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
It's just not good enough. it's close, but it's just not good
infancy
enough.
Infancy of AI.
It doesn't sound enough like Homer.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't.
That one doesn't.
No.
Okay. Again, maybe we utilize this in some form or fashion. So, there you have it. So while AI is capable of some things beyond our imagine, this is also what it can create with someone with a very weird imagination.
And I don't want the world to see me.
And this is what you play at the hearing for the data center. And everyone gets on board.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Will Eagles fly once more? Later today, we have U.S. men's hockey playing Slovakia to get into the gold medal game. And we have Jordan Stolz, his final race tomorrow morning in the mass start. So that's an 8 a.m. start time for those races. If he makes it to the finals are at 9:40 tomorrow on one of the NBC channels.
Described by Lori Nicola, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, as NASCAR on ice.
Yes.
Guys wipe out, there's stuff, a lot of people on the ice at once. Sounds like an amazing race for fans. Yes.
Great stuff from Lori today. Again, on that, just text the word GOLD to 855-616-1620. We'll send you all of her stuff.
Happening today on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Brewers are expected to hold a news conference this morning. They already confirmed that indeed they extended skipper Pat Murphy's contract.
That's exactly what was needed tonight.
It's a 3-year deal. Mm-hmm. Murph does. So an extension for him. I guess the club has an option for a 4th year, but the back-to-back manager of the year will remain at the helm for your Milwaukee Brewers news conference later this morning.
Are you in on this deal bar idea?
Why again with the deal bar? Why are you so excited about this?
So, as you know, brick and mortar, I'm always fascinated how brick and mortar is going to do their thing. Like, how are these stores going to survive? What can they do to be sustainable? Well, Kohl's, they posted this on their website, and the Journal Sentinel's got it too, have added a deal bar. All of its locations have now customers being able to find gifts, seasonal and other items, for $10 or less. So there's going to be like a bar or an area near checkout where it's going to be, hey, everything here is $10 or less. And it'll be topical stuff like Easter stuff or, you know, birthday party stuff, whatever it might be. It's all $10 or less. It's called a deal bar.
Okay.
You all in?
Heretofore, has this not been the bargain bin? But Kohl's went highbrow on it. You think they were in the meetings and like, we should have a bargain bin. What are we, Walmart? We don't have a... Oh, we don't have a bargain bin.
Absolutely not. It's a deal bar.
We'll have the same thing, but we'll call it a bar. So what, like a table?
No, it's not a table.
It's not a table.
It looks nicer than that. And we'll put up a little sign.
You think? I don't know. You would hope. Unless they just had the store manager, listen, you're going to need to get a table.
All right.
And put some of this stuff on there.
We got to get to a deal bar. We have to check this out. Good luck.
Report back to us. 9:57. Point taken with Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry up next on News Radio 620 WTMJ.
I've never seen a sandhill crane water ski. I don't know. Can they slalom? Or do they only go behind the wake boat? Because they're probably pretty good.
It's very germane. And you know what? I think the hunters and sportsmen up in my neck of the woods are going to be excited to get some of that ribeye of the sky.